Welcome to Changed by Love Radio with Pastor Jim Kevney. Pastor Jim's desire is to teach the Word of God with passion and simplicity, as well as a direct application to our daily lives.
When Jesus was on the cross, the religious leaders came up to him and they were wagging their fingers at him. And they were saying, well, he saved others, but he can't save himself. Come down from that cross. And as often we say, it was not the nails that nailed him to the cross, it was love that nailed him to the cross. And he refused to come down. And so if you are a follower of Jesus, always remember that Jesus did not abandon you on the cross. Instead, he takes the punishment for our sins.
Have you ever felt so loved that you didn't know how to respond? Maybe someone gave you a gift you didn't deserve, or paid for a meal without you asking them to. Today, Pastor Jim tells you of the ultimate example of love. It's Jesus' death on the cross for you. He loved you so much that he allowed nails to go into his hands so that you could have a chance in eternity with him. Place your trust in him and find your joy in him. He's constantly reaching out to you, no matter how much you run away. Well, let's join Pastor Jim in the book of John chapter 9 as he continues his message. A man faces the religious leaders.
We had a service here for a beloved sister who went home to be with the Lord. This guy walks out of the service, walks right up to me and goes, I am not a Christian. I said, okay. And he goes, but bro, you flipped me out tonight. Right? He goes, I don't know what to think about that. He goes, it was great. Everybody was so nice. I don't know what to make of it. And the religious leaders took the Sabbath. And the Sabbath was supposed to be a day where they focused on God. And they took that day and basically they turned it into a day of misery. A day of all kinds of rules and regulations. And you want to make sure you're so worried about not doing the right thing. Now, a lot of us would want to judge those people and say all kinds of stuff. But what has the American church done? We've taken the day of the Lord, Sunday, and we've made it optional. Becomes if we don't have anything else to do, that's what we're going to go do. We must all be careful of taking the word of God and twisting it for our own needs, our own purposes, and our own agenda. Remember when we were first starting the church here, somebody said to my oldest son, and he said, it must be hard for you and your family going to church every week. And he said, it's always been that way. It's always been that way. Verse 18 and 19, but the Jews, now John will use this term, the Jews and religious leaders and Pharisees, kind of all that kind of interchangeably. But the Jews, the religious leaders, did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called his parents or called the parents of him who had received his sight. And they asked them saying, is this your son whom you say was born blind? How does he now see? So what do? They call mommy and daddy, right? They call mommy and daddy. So we want to know about this, okay? And interesting, the word called, we view it as, yeah, we call them up or something like that, but it's more similar to the idea of like a subpoena that you get from an appearance in court. Did any of you ever get a subpoena? You'd see nobody would raise their hand for that. One honest person in the whole crowd, right? Okay. Do tell, brother, do tell. Okay, no, just kidding, right? I know more of you have. Right? You say, how do you know that, Pastor Jim? Because I helped bail him out of jail. Okay, so it's like getting a subpoena to appear in court. And this shows the power that the religious leaders had. They had a tremendous amount of power. We call you and you come to us. It's not like, well, no way. Because remember, they had the palace, they had the temple guards, and they would send them if they had to. Why would they do this? Why would they call the parents? Probably because what did that young man just do? We don't know how old he is. What did he just do? He just embarrassed them. He just said Jesus was a prophet. They didn't like that at all, okay? And so then they asked, you know, they asked the parents, you know, can you come over, okay? And they said, well, what do you say about all this? Now, this is something we all need to remember. The religious leaders and people in general, when it comes to Jesus, believe what they want to believe, okay? And they don't believe what they want to believe. Do you know people like that? If you don't, you need to get out of the house more. Okay? And you need to read your Bible more. Because you will hear some of the worst misquotations of Jesus from people who don't read the Bible that you've ever heard in your life. Okay? So you got to be really careful. Now, most of you are probably Christians. What's the most popular verse in the Bible? See, everybody goes John 3:16. Yes. Matthew 7:1. Judge not lest you be judged. That's because that's the one all the unbelievers know. And they outnumber us. Okay? You got to read the rest of the chapter. You can go on our website. We taught through that chapter. Okay? And you can do that. Right? Because so we have to know. So is the problem that the man was cured? Probably not. More so is the problem, it was Jesus who did it. Because what did they say in verse 16? This man is not from God. Now, remember, Jesus claimed to be God become a man. God adding on humanity, okay? And Jesus' radical claims, and this is where a lot of religious people get really bent out of shape. Jesus' radical claims, okay, attack man-made religion. They really do. And so this is where we all have to be real careful. I'm not saying there's not traditions that are okay, right? But we always say around that's a lot of, you talk to a lot of pastors, and they'll say that December sometimes is a hard month to get people to come to church. You know why? They're preparing for Christmas. Right? So they're too busy to come worship Jesus, because they're preparing for Christmas. Maybe some of you can explain to me what that means after the service, because I have no idea. Okay? And so in the Gospels, we'll see that Jesus uses a lot of signs, right? Which stuff that nobody else could do, to do what? Yes, to heal the people, to have mercy on people, yes. But for the whole world to do what? To open our spiritual eyes. Because they're blind. Verse 19, they ask, some people say two questions, some say three. We'll call it three. Number one, is this your son? That's an easy question. Number two, who you say was born blind? That's an easy question. Number three, then, how does he now see? Not quite as easy. It sounds like that after hearing this guy speak, they're maybe embarrassed if there was a crowd there, so they're trying to discredit the parents, so they are seen as deceptive liars. Why? Because the religious leaders are divided, and their cold hearts will resort to anything. They are so cold that they will do anything to make Jesus look bad. They can't even for a second, and this is how bad it is. They can't even for a second be happy for this man. I know we said it earlier, I can't even get over this. They can't even for a second be happy for this man. And because of that, they cannot take another look to see the divinity of Jesus. I mean, this guy's going all over the place. And helping people see, helping blind people see was very common for Jesus, not for the other prophets. And they just refuse to believe it. They will not even look at it. And obviously the man can see. They're asking, was he really born blind? The answer is yes. But again, said it before, say it again, the question is not how, but who. Who is the one who did this? It seems like the parents know about it, but they don't want to talk to the religious leaders about it. Now, how sad is that? Just imagine you have a kid born blind. Now, we're going to see in a bit that he has to be at least 13 years of age or older. Okay? So you have a kid born blind, and now he can see. Wouldn't you think you'd be shouting it from the rooftop? And they don't want to talk to the religious leaders about it. You would think they'd be walking around like, oh, praise the Lord. I can't believe what happened. Everybody, you know, like, you know, how's life going? Did I tell you what happened to my son? Right? I heard you weren't feeling too well lately. Did I tell you what happened to my son? Right? Do you ever meet anybody like that? Like, no matter what you ask them, they just got good news. Man, they can't wait to share it with you. Now, sometimes God takes these things that are difficult, we talked about this last week, and then he turns them into good things. Our church has had some very serious losses recently. We've lost some dear brothers and sisters in the Lord, and particularly a group of ladies that have gone home to be with the Lord. And I'm sure a lot of you are like, I can't wait to get this year out of the books. I'm done with this year. A lot of times we have that, okay? But I'm noticing something from a lot of people in our church. A lot of them have said to me, I feel like God is calling me to visit people in the hospital. Walk in, and I know this feeling, you walk in, you have no idea what to say. And you walk out, and just you realize that just your being there was something for them. And I have several people saying, if I go volunteer at a hospital, visit people that are dying or not doing well, would you write a letter of recommendation? I said, sure. Sure, I would do that if I need to do that. Galatians 5:6 in the Christian Standard Bible puts it this way, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision accomplishes anything. I'll define that as religion. That's religion. Doesn't do anything. What matters is faith working through love. That's what matters. Jesus is saying faith, you got to have faith, but then you work your faith out through love. Verse 20 and 21, his parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son, and we know that he was born blind. So they answer question 1 and 2. Got it? Now they come to question 3. But by what means he now sees, we do not know. Or who opened his eyes, we do not know. He is of age. Now, what does that mean? 13 or more? Okay. You're 13, you're a man. Right? 30, you're not even a man in our culture. I think it's 40 now. Just so you know, teenagers, 25 plus years of youth ministry, you're 13, you're a man. You're 13, you're a young woman. Okay? That's it. All right? And you say, really? I'm coming for you. Okay? That's it. We got to stop treating people like they're little kids, right? They're going out into a very, very harsh world, very, very harsh world. And we got to prepare them for that. Okay. I don't even know what verse we're on. Anyway. He is of age. Ask him. He will speak for himself. So in verse 20, they confirm the miracle, but they're not tough like his son. Like their son. I bet blindness made him tough. I bet it made him learn how to survive in this world. And while we'll see why they're afraid of the religious leaders in a minute, he doesn't seem to be afraid of them at all. Another thing I think what's happening is we're watching his conversion take place. Okay? What was he originally? A man named Jesus. Now he's what? A prophet. He's moving along, okay? Again, that's why it takes a little while, all right? We'll see more of that again in the second half of the chapter. Verse 20, they confirm he's their son and he's born blind, which validates the miracle, but they are seemingly, as we'll see in coming up soon, afraid. In verse 21, they don't say much, and quite honestly, they could be lying. I mean, wouldn't you think they would be asking around, who's the guy who cured our son? Like maybe want to send him a little thank you note or something like that, right? And they say, talk to him. Now soon we're going to see why they are like this. Were they there when their son was healed? Very doubtful. Yet they are fearful of the religious leaders and they abandon their son. When Jesus was on the cross, the religious leaders came up to him and they were wagging their fingers at him. And they were saying, well, he saved others, but he can't save himself. Come down from that cross. And as often we say, it was not the nails that nailed him to the cross. It was love that nailed him to the cross. And he refused to come down. And so if you are a follower of Jesus, always remember that Jesus did not abandon you on the cross. Instead, he takes the punishment for our sins. So there will be none to be taken for people who put their trust in Jesus before God. Verse 22 and 23, his parents said these things because they feared the Jews. Isn't that terrible? Isn't that terrible that people would actually fear their religious leaders? I can't even deal with that, honestly. I just can't. For the Jews had already agreed, watch this, that if anyone confessed that he, Jesus, was the Christ or the Messiah, he would be put out of or banned from the synagogue. Therefore, or some versions say that's why his parents said, he is of age, ask him. They're afraid. So his parents are afraid they would be put out of or banned from the synagogue. That's important for them to know. The religious leaders now, we see, are not only posing a threat to Jesus, but to anyone who followed him. And the people knew it. Now you say, well, what's the big deal? Well, in their culture, they're threatening anyone who put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ to cut them off from basically all religious life, all social life, and probably all economic life. And so they're extremely afraid. This is what we call excommunication. And it could be temporary, it could be permanent. Now, in the first century church, when they began, there was some tolerance of it. But as more people began to convert, less tolerance of it. And so they were, it got worse for them over the years. But for many of you, this is a choice that you've had to make. Perhaps your family said to you, it's our religion or Jesus. I remember I dated a girl when I was in college, and we went on a couple dates, and I asked her if she wanted to go out again, and she broke out into tears. I mean, I knew it was a bad date, but I didn't know it was that bad, right? And her reasoning was, we're not the same religion, and my family will never tolerate you, right? She had to make a choice. Others of you, maybe it's people said, your family has said to you, it's either our family or Jesus. You got to make a choice. I know it's happened to many husbands and wives. One becomes a follower of Jesus and the other one doesn't want any part of it anymore. And the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 7, they depart the marriage. Maybe your friends, right? They don't want to hang out with you anymore because you're now a follower of Jesus. So my friends are like, dude, no more. No thanks. No thanks. And so it's important. And the man's parents feared the Jews, the religious leaders. Now you say, well, you got all kinds of judgments about them. Well, maybe they had other kids. You got to feed a family, right? Maybe because he was a beggar, they were poor people. And they figured, boy, if he gets excommunicated, nobody will give anything to anybody. And I think one of the things that we forget is that religion and or fear, or religion and fear, will turn people away from Jesus. And we don't want to be those people, do we? We don't want to be that at all. So why did the religious leaders reject Jesus? The same reason most people do. They don't want the kind of Savior that Jesus is. They don't want that. Remember we've said before that they wanted a Messiah that would kick the Romans back to Rome. They were under Roman occupation. That's what they wanted. You're like, well, we're not like that. We're not like that. Oh, yeah, but how many people want Jesus to make them always wealthy or always healthy or always happy? right? And then when something bad happens, a lot of those people fall away from the faith. Why? Because they've never been equipped for those bad times. Bad things happen all the time. You know? The Bible says it rains on the just and the unjust. Now, over there, they would say that they'd be happy over there when it rained, that they got rain. Over here, we hate rain. Right? Right? But that's the way life is. Bad things happen to all people. That's just the way it goes. You know, most people think they're good enough to stand before a holy God. Verse we come to often, Romans 3:23 says this, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Most of us lose it, for all have sinned, but it's that fall short, that's the scary part. And so we have to realize that at some point in time, we have to stand in front of a holy God. And so, are you ready for that? If you accept the fact that you've fallen short, then you will know that you need a Savior. You will. That's why God became a man, right? God put on humanity and lived a perfect life in your place. Okay? And we said last week, if God punished us for every sin, he'd pound us into the pavement every day of our lives. Okay? He doesn't do that. And then what did he do? After he lived a perfect life, you think he'd be like, that's enough, I'm good. He died on the cross for our sins. What'd he do? So we didn't have to pay the punishment for our sins. So God takes our sins, puts them on Jesus, and takes his perfect life and puts it on us, right? And that's how we can stand before God. And to prove that he defeated sin and death, what did he do? He rose from the dead. I don't know if I said this already. I know I said it in the other service, but a guy came out to me last night and he looks at me right in the eye and goes, "I'm not a Christian, but you flipped me out tonight, man." I was like, "Good, let's talk." Right? Let's talk. He goes, "I can't believe that stuff." He goes, I grew up in church. Nobody ever talked like that. And so what did Jesus do when he rose from the dead? He defeated sin and death. And then he offers a free gift to us and says, all you have to do is trust in me. Jesus said, repent and believe. Turn from your sin, trust in Jesus, and I will give you that free gift. You're nice people. I'm not. People say to me, well, I'm good enough to get to heaven. And they tell me all about all their religious achievements, especially if they're Christians. And I say, okay, one question, just one. They go, sure, let it rip. Why did Jesus have to die on the cross if you're so good to get to heaven? Let me give you their answer. Nothing. There's no good answer for that. If you are here and you have never put your trust in Jesus Christ, you can today. You can. You can't be like, it's not like buying an insurance policy or something like that. You got to really want to follow Jesus. It's not about being religious at all. And you say, well, I got to get my act together. You don't have to get your act together. Okay, you want the bad news? You will never get your act together. Okay? That's not what we have to do. It's about knowing God. And Jesus will open your spiritual eyes and he will give you hope in this dark, dark world. He will open your spiritual eyes, give you the promise for the forgiveness of sins and eternal life, and a life in Jesus Christ, with Jesus Christ in heaven forever.
You have been listening to Changed by Love, the teaching ministry of Pastor Jim Kevney, and that's all the time we have for today. Our desire here at Changed by Love is to simply bring you the life-changing message of Jesus Christ by teaching you the Bible in a simple, easy-to-follow way. If you missed part of today's message or want to hear it again, go to our website, changedbyloveradio.org. This program is possible because of the support of you, our listeners. Your support helps us to produce radio shows and purchase radio time on radio stations across the country. Pastor Jim often says that it was radio that helped him in many ways when he was a truck driver and an office worker before he became a pastor. Our team here at Changed by Love is always encouraged to hear how our ministry is helping you in your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. You can email us at changedbyloveradio@gmail.com. And when you write to us, please let us know what station and time you hear us. We would also like to thank all of you who pray for our ministry. We realize that without your prayers, our work would lack power. Pastor Jim is so grateful to the people who write to us and pray at the conclusion of each show. Without your prayers and support, we can't do what we do. Our hope and desire is that you will join us again next time on this radio station as we continue teaching the Word of the Lord here in the Gospel of John, one verse at a time. Those of us who are bringing you the Changed by Love program pray God's best to each and every one of you today and every day.